You know, I was quite blessed this morning by the chorus that we sang. There must be more than this. O breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew, we pray. Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. You know, we need a passion this morning for Jesus. A spirit of God fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. You know, I want to speak this morning about the manifest presence of God and what happens. When God manifests himself, it meant that he revealed himself, that those who were in his presence saw the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, for who he is. You know, we need to realize who we worship today. We worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There is no other. There is no other. We just came and we celebrated the death of our Lord and Savior upon a cross. And I can remember a while ago, the Jehovah Witnesses knocking on my door. And this is a while back when we lived in Mildred Street down the bottom there. And one of the things that I asked them about, I said, who do you think Jesus was? And every time they come up with different answers. I don't know if you noticed that. And I said to them, I said, Jesus died upon a cross for our sins. And I said, nobody else could do it but God himself. And you know what? I had a laugh. It was a man and a woman. And the guy's looking at me and the woman behind him is nodding his head and she agrees with me. No one else could die upon a cross but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God himself. And we worship a God who created all things. There wasn't a bang. I don't come from a monkey, but God created heaven and earth. You know, there's a lot of books I've noticed lately about Darwin's theory and that the guy, what's the guy's name in the wheelchair? Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking, that's right. He seems to be out to prove that there was, you know, that we evolved. But we didn't. We worship a God who created all things. We sing a chorus and it says, he gives and he takes away. Whoa. That's the God that we worship. He gives and he takes away. That is a God who I worship. A King of Kings. So when God manifests his glory, we come into the presence of the King of Kings. We don't come into the presence of Queen Elizabeth II or Tony Blair or anyone. That, someone who is higher than them. And that is a God who created us. Says it's a God who created us from the dirt. And when God manifests his glory, things happen. Isaiah 6. Let's have a look. Where are we? Sorry, gone past it. Isaiah 6. This is a picture of when God's glory falls. And it says this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Wow. What a picture. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Isaiah had a picture of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, for us to see that, isn't it? Sets my heart high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said this. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my lip with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Amen. What a fantastic picture, isn't it? You know, I love sometimes meditating, not just on the word of God, but actually pictures of God, isn't it? Wasn't it? I can remember once, many, many years ago, being in a youth camp. It shows how many years ago it was, down in Llantwit Major. And the glory of God fell in that place. And I've never experienced anything like it in my life. And I pray that God's glory would fall in this place. The manifest presence of God will show the very importance between God and us. You know, firstly in verse 1 to 4, shows the holiness of God. God is holy. He is perfect in all his ways. Verse 3 says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. There was a declaration not only to Isaiah, but to the world, that he is a holy God. He is totally different from us. I don't know about you. I am a sinner. I was born a sinner. But God was born holy, and he is holy. He is different to us. The angel announced it 3 times. There is no one as holy as our God. Holiness brings perfection. There is no one as perfect as our God. Amen? There is no one. There is no one. When the presence of God falls, we will see. We might read it. We might believe it. But we will see it. What's that saying? Seeing is believing, isn't it? Isaiah saw the perfection of God in that very moment. It reveals God's greatness. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen. We might not think it sometimes because we live in a world that is filthy, that is dirty, that is godless. We live in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. The things that are going on in our day, God destroyed them. And we need to cry out sometimes for this world. We need to cry out, God, have mercy. Have mercy on us for being unfaithful to him. God says, my house shall be a house of prayer. And sometimes we need to get back to basics. No one is as great as our God. The psalmist cried out in Psalm 95, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. We are being challenged, my friends. We are being challenged by Islam. We need to stand up. There is no other God who is greater than our God. I was reading a letter in the Echo, in South Wales Echo, some Muslim guy was writing in, and he says, oh, Christians don't realise how much we have in common with them, that the Arabic word for God is Allah. But Jesus Christ is God. They think he is a prophet, but Jesus Christ is God. There is no other. When God manifests his glory, we will know there is no other. When God comes back a second time, there will be no other, and the world will see it. But we need God's glory to fall. We need to see his glory in this place. The cry of heaven is, there is no other as great as our God. There is no other. His fullness is revealed in his presence. His mercy is revealed in his presence. Psalm 37, 26. He is ever merciful. We are sinners. Oh, Lord. Saved by grace, not of ourselves, but all of him. You know, what I love about this book more than anything is God takes ordinary people, people like the likes of Isaiah, who was a sinner, no different to me and you. These people in this book are no different to me and you. Yet something happened to them. They met with God. And it changed them. It changed them. Sometimes, I can remember Pastor Smith saying it, sometimes we want to see God's hand, but we need to see God's face. It was God's presence that changed Isaiah. What did he say? He stood up and he said, God, I can't hide it anymore. I am a man of unclean lips. I'm a sinner. I am a sinner, he said. Psalm 100 says, his mercy is everlasting. God knew that Isaiah was a sinner. He knew. Can I say we can't hide anything from God? He knows us. Because he made us. Amen? He made us. Flesh and blood. Everything. He made us. It says in the Psalms, isn't it? Wonderfully and perfectly made. No, wonderfully. You know, that is a message to the world today. You are wonderfully and perfectly made. Anything else is a lie of the devil. He knows us. He loves us. For God so loved the world. His presence brings his love towards us. His mercy, his love, it says, is everlasting. It doesn't matter. He reaches out to the filthiest sinner. And he touches their lives. He reached out to Isaiah and he touched his life. No, I love it. When God's presence comes down, we will see the difference. Verse 5, woe is me. He said, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. God's presence comes, realization comes into our lives. There are people out there, my friends, and they think, nothing wrong with me. I'm all right. And they are sinners like us. Woe is me. I've realized, you know, you can imagine it, can't you? The light went on in Isaiah's head. Woe is me, for I am undone. I've been found out because I am a man of unclean lips. He said, I've been found out. But God is merciful. He is loving. When we say merciful, when we say loving, we mean that God is refraining from punishment. That he is forgiven. You know, let's be honest about it. Let's put the cards on the table. The truth is, if we got what we deserved, wow, woe is us. We're in serious trouble. We are in serious trouble. But God comes. He comes with love. He comes with mercy. And he refrains. He's forgiving. He's forgiving and loving. When the presence of God is manifest, we see the true personality of God. And that mirrors back ourselves. He is forgiving. Are we forgiving? He is loving. Are we loving? He is compassionate. Are we compassionate? He is merciful. Are we merciful? You know, these are the things that happen when God's glory falls. And we need to look at ourselves. Are we the same? You know, I can remember, I don't know if they still got them, is there those bands they put around in, and what would Jesus do, you know? Every situation, what would Jesus do? Do we know the word of God? He says, if they're hungry, feed them. If someone hits you, turn the other cheek. You know, when God's glory falls, we see who he is. Yes, we've heard it hundreds of times that God is great. But we will see it. We've heard it hundreds of times that God is loving. But we will know it. We will know it. We will see it ourselves. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. That were his words. The glory fell. Then Isaiah saw himself. This is where the difference comes in. The first thing Isaiah saw was God's holiness. God's word says this, be holy as I am holy. Can I say, holiness is an ongoing situation. It's something that we strive for. We strive to be different. The second thing Isaiah saw was his sin. Woe is me, for I am undone. Then he saw, thirdly, he saw the sin of the nation. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Who knows? I'm not sure how long ago this was written. It says in my Bible by you. Let's have a look. Thousands of years ago. Literally thousands of years ago. Date about 700 to 690 BC. A long time ago. And you know, those words are so true today. We live in the midst, amongst a people of unclean lips. You know, favorite swear word today is Jesus Christ. Isn't it? I gotta be honest with him. I'll say this. Maybe one way some people be shocked. Where I work, people swear. Goes over there. But the minute they use the word of the Lord, something inside there explodes. Something, whether anger, what, I don't know. But we live in a nation of unclean lips. And we need the glory of God to fall, that people will see who Jesus is. We are God's ambassadors today to tell people about God. Then we see why he has confessed. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The truth will always come out. The manifest presence of God will always bring truth into situations. God cannot and will not lie. He cannot and will not lie. God is holy, we are sinful. But what have we said? God is merciful. Of course he is. Of course he is. If he wasn't merciful, we wouldn't be here today. In God's presence, he will clean us up. Amen. Amen. He will purge the sin from our lives. He will give us a plan and a purpose. Can I say something? He gave Isaiah a plan and a purpose. He said, go. Then he said in verse 8, here am I. Oh, no, sorry. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. When his glory falls, he will give us a plan and he will give us a purpose. He will clean us up. He will deal with our sin. Why? Because God cannot stand sin. It is an abomination to him. That means it is a smell that God cannot be in the presence of. And he cannot come into contact. But says in verse 7, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Purged means we are clean. Clean for God's use. Amen. The word of God says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Yes, we were sinners once, but now we have been touched and forgiven by God. We have been cleaned up. There is no condemnation for us. We are clean for God's use. That's what it's about. We are God's representative. God always done things for a reason. He didn't do it so we could have a happy, clappy meeting and praise the Lord and all go home with a spiritual buzz. He does it for a reason. He done it for a reason in Isaiah, and he does it a reason for his church. God's presence always comes for a reason. This time to clean up Isaiah. Clean him up and send him to the nation. God's presence always calls for some kind of action. As in Isaiah's case, repentance. Amen? As God's church, do we need God's presence? Of course we do. We need God every day. Every second of the day. Every minute of the day. Every hour of the day. Every week. Every month. Every year. We need his presence with us. Because without God we can do nothing. Amen. Without God, we can do nothing. But with God, we can do all things. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we do things on our own, my friends, we will fall flat on our faces. But if we do things with God, sky's the limit. You know, God's presence to fall in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, in one way, I suppose what we looked at is very much an Old Testament way, you know. And tonight, I'm going to look at the indwelling presence of God, which is very much a New Testament thing. But we need God tonight, this morning, don't we?